There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody.
This is the Smiley Show.
All right, happy to welcome in Parker McLaughlin, PGA Tour winner back in 2008. Parker, you're over in China now. Most people know you as the short game chef. What you chefing up over there in China, my man?
Man, we are doing some fun stuff. So I'm coaching some coaches over here, sharing a little bit about flight lines, the sort of technology that I had kind of helped create with the Vokey team. And man, just getting people fired up on the wedge game.
I had those flight lines on a set of wedges a couple sets ago. I'm actually really curious, just to start there, with how you came up with that idea and just the visual aid. Because, right, there's one where it's supposed to be kind of back of the stance, closed face, like a low shot, and the one that's supposed to be your most neutral version, and one where you want to have it open. And it was very, very helpful.
What are y'all talking about? All right, walk me through this. I'm not familiar with this.
I don't think I have the wedge upstairs, but it was right on the like almost – not the hosel, but kind of
going
down – Is it on the,
yeah,
it's right on the, yeah. It's like kind of going down above, like just beneath the ferrule.
Yes.
Going into the head of the wedge. It's like little visual aids to hit different shots. It's
super like
cool.
Seymour. It's like the old Seymour. Like it's like the old.
And that's part of where the idea started. And it was like a COVID idea. I was helping a couple of tour players. COVID happened. And I'm like, people are sending in videos. And I'm seeing the same thing with these videos with my amateurs. And I'm like, God, their setups are so all over the place. And I'm like, if I could just. Like and then my pros would send me videos, and I'm like, well, shit, my pros are pretty close to like the same for every type of shot. And then the amateurs were like, hands way forward, hands way back, too much, everything was all over the place. And I'm like, if I could just make a visual aid for like, I just call it like the three different shots, like a low bump and run, sure. A medium trajectory pitch shot, and then a high flop bunker shot out of thick rough. And so I was there like in my kitchen, and I had my wife. I was like, I got this idea. I'm like, we get on the floor and like get a ruler and grab some Sharpies. And so I was like, okay, I like looking at the face right here for my bunker shot. So she drew a line on the hosel with a Sharpie. I was like, okay, I can kind of see that. That's perfect. Okay, now I'm gonna go pitch shot. She drew another line, and I'm gonna go like back of stance, handle forward, and I'm gonna draw another line. And so I did this, and I went through and I got it patented and the whole thing. And then I pitched it to the Vokey team, and they were like, yes, yeah, this is pretty good. And then I called Jason Gore, who was at the USGA at the time. And I said, hey,
wow.
I've got this idea. Yeah. I'm like, I got this idea. And I'm like, is it legal? And he's like, I'll put you in touch with the right guy. And then the guy got on the phone with me, and he's like, dude, it's actually written in our rule book. Alignment lines on the hosel of a golf club are totally legal. And so now it's been played in tournament play on the PGA Tour, Champions Tour, Korn Ferry, LPGA Tour. It's been played on every major tour.
Wow.
Super cool.
Well, congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So we just gotta tell the story. The people in China are kinda digging it. It's a very it's a very like simple, like, hey, this is it, and it just like it simplifies your setup.
And Parker, you've had an incredible short game your entire career. Can you just kind of walk us through what you believe in when it comes to the short game, and who were the people that you kind of looked up to or copied, if you will, of players that you played against? If I recall, was Zinger somewhere in the fold
Zinger,
here? As far as like, I know he had a nasty short game.
He was crazy good. He was an unbelievable mentor of mine. And, you know, I'd kind of, you know, like you, like struggled with my game. And then Zinger and I kind of reconnected after I lost my card. And he's like, Parker, come down to Florida and like hang out with me for a week. And let me see if I can kind of declutter your brain a little bit, you know, because like, you know, when you start going down that wrong rabbit hole of like swing thoughts and like it's going, you know, 50, maybe 90 right and 50 left, like, dude, there's so many things. I know you understand what I'm saying.
I get it.
And I was there. I was there. And it was like, it was the worst feeling of all time because something that you grew up just knowing, like, I know what my body's doing. I know where this ball's going. Right. And then now all of a sudden it's like, what? And then you just, you lose your sort of sense of self. And so anyway, Zinger was like so kind to just be like, hey, come down to Florida, hang out with me for a week. And I did. And you know, I mean, the stories with that guy, he is just one of the most incredible people in the game of golf. And, you know, he and his wife, Tony, they opened up their house to me and I went down there and he legitimately like helped me get my golf game back. And, you know, like probably a handful of years later, I ended up, you know, going back to Q school and getting to final stage and playing 18 events on the Corn Ferry Tour. And then having a couple top 25s on the PGA Tour in like 2018, after I had, you know, made one cut out of 26 in 2010. And so like Zinger really helped me with my golf game get back to a great spot. But a lot of the stuff we did too was not just like mental stuff and driving the golf ball and like visualizing and all that stuff. But a lot of it was short game stuff. We'd play 27 holes and then we would just go like learn how to chip off of a Bermuda green into the grain and not take a divot. And it was like, oh, this is fun. Right. And so, yeah, I learned a ton from Zing. Nasty, nasty short game. Just crazy.
Wait,
good.
How do you do that? The end of the grain Bermuda off the green thing? Cause that I'm thinking in my head, it's like, that'd be a good one to have, wouldn't it, Charlie?
Yeah. Asking for a friend, right?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, the first time I tried to do it, Zinger's like, you know, we were at the concession club and where I think they just had that PGA senior championship. And he puts me on a putting green there. And he was like, all right. He's like, I want to see you hit this as high as you possibly can without taking a divot. And I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be bad. It's right out in front of like where people are eating and stuff. And he's just like, go ahead. And I take a divot and he's like, you donkey, what are you doing? I just took this pelt, right? And I was like, that was the only way I knew how to do it at the time. And so he started teaching me a little bit more about like, arc height and like understanding how to use the back edge of the club a little bit more rather than just using the leading edge. And I was like, oh, this is a whole different world. And so a lot of that, you know, like I, you know, grew up in Hawaii, a lot of Bermuda grass, you're chipping into the wind, you're chipping, you know, into the grain quite a bit. So I learned how to chip leading edge quite a bit. And then I learned how from Zinger to use the back edge and incorporate that. And then learn how to create that shallower arc depth, which, you know, I know you guys had Keith Mitchell on last week, and it's like, I say it to this day, I'm like, Keith Mitchell is probably one of the greatest that I've ever seen at managing his arc height. Like the height of his arc, it never gets deep, and he just, it's the shallowest arc height you've ever seen, which is why he hits those nasty little chip shots out of bunkers where it would freak most people out, and he's just like, no, I'm just gonna chip this out of a bunker. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're
nightmare. Insane. That's a nightmare for me right now. I do not have that shot. Like a fairway bunker in itself. I was telling Charlie about this the other night. I'm trying to avoid these recreations on the PGA Championship to not go in a.
You've never been one to settle. Stand down or stand still. You're a lifelong learner, energized by excellence. There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. You've got competition to outrun, momentum to build on, and your own high standards to meet. Stop now? Not a chance. At Capella University, we help you catch what you're chasing because you've always had the drive. Now, go earn the degree. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Fairway bunker. So whatever the arc height for a full swing there for me is, it's like I'm working with like half of the golf ball.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think as I've kind of gone into the teaching side of things, you know, I think that's one of the, to me, in chipping, arc height, if you're going to say like, hey, what's the one thing that you should master? You know, we were talking, Charlie, about like, hey, for amateur golfers, right? What's the one thing, if you could just pick one thing to master, it would be arc height. To me, that you can, it increases your margin of error. You know, I was hitting some shots in China yesterday, was pouring down rain, completely like just wet mud, and we're hitting off the mats, and then they're like, hey, how would you hit one off of the grass? And I'm like, this is not grass, this is like casual water mud. And so I went and I hit one just like that and just clipped it right off the top, basically. I'm like, that I've gotten good at creating an arc height that I understand where it is. And so I would say arc height would be the main thing to really pay attention to.
Parker, the whole short game discourse, it feels like it's very charged right now. And I promise, like in asking you this, it's not meant to be polarizing. It's more so finding sort of a place of unification, or really just, I think the thing that to me lands the most when I'm sitting here on the show and I'm listening to Smiley talk to all these pros is how each of them have their own unique quirks and go about it a different way. In fact, Keith was talking about it when he was on, where he and Joel, because their full swings are different, how they have two kind of different ways to get it done. So I think it would help a lot of people to understand, in your mind, what are the non-negotiables for you? Like, what's the sort of just the bedrock, the foundational, you must do this? And where are the places, you know, with any aspect of the short game where you'd like to see each guy do it a little bit their own way based on how their unique patterns are, or the way their biomechanics work?
Yeah, I would say it starts at setup. I think that, you know, spine angle is really, really important. And so you look at who's had success recently. Stuart Sink cross-handed, Matt Fitzpatrick, what, 3 wins cross-handed. What does cross-handed do? It kind of levels out your shoulders, right? Yeah. So that, you know, when we're normally this way trying to hit a driver, now I've got this pitch, a lot of times my entry point into the ground is going to be too far back. My low point's too far back. So leveling out the shoulders, just getting a neutral spine, to me, is a great thing. I see a lot of people kick the, you know, try to put weight in the front foot, and they kick the lead hip up and then the trail shoulders down. So that's a bad combo. But, a lot of what I do is set up. Try to get people in the right spot setup-wise, and then teach them about creating an arc height that's consistent. So fairway lie, you know, I like to see it a little bit shallower. In the rough, that's obviously, it's going to get deeper. In the bunker, it's obviously going to get deeper. But for a fairway lie, I'm trying to create a good situation where it's like you're in a good setup spot where you don't have to do too many compromises. The swing is so short. It's like hip to hip for some of these chip shots. And it's like, if you're in these funky setup spots, like one of the things that I think is a sneaky one is your eye pitch. Right. So if you get your eyes tilted a little this way, now all of a sudden the pitch of your eyes when you're looking down is way too much into out. A lot of people are right eye dominant that are right handed golfers. They'll get this right eye underneath, and now all of a sudden you're bottoming out too early. So just switching the pitch of the eyes, the plane of the eyes, to me is a sneaky, helpful tip. But a lot of it is just about getting people in the right spot for setup. And then I think sort of blending in, you know, what it is that they do well with their golf swing, you know, that's kind of the give and take of like, how good is that player? Are they a newer golfer, 20 plus handicap, or are they a tour player? A tour player, the good and bad is, the good, you can tell them to do X, Y, and Z, and they can do it real quick. But the bad is, it takes a long time for it to actually like become natural because they've just put so much time in and they've already built up their patterns so much that it does take a little bit longer for them to really like feel like it's implemented.
And the level of shots too are more difficult, right? You know, you're making these changes and you're going, it's not like you're going to all these easy shots that you can kind of work your way back. If you end up in bad spots on the PGA Tour and you're short-sighted, you quickly figure out whether your stuff works or it doesn't work.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I think the discourse is like, I just think, you know, there's so many ways to do it. And I think that my frustration stemmed from it being one way of doing it. And that if you're not doing it this way, your math is wrong and you're wrong. If we know anything about the game of golf and golf swings and golf in general, there is not just one way to do it. I think that's, you know, we sort of saw it with Stack and Tilt, right? Like, I was on tour. I'm Smiley. I know you were kind of on tour a little bit after that, but I was on tour with like the whole Stack and Tilt movement. And it was like, these guys were out here saying like, yeah, we're doing it the mathematically correct way and everybody else is wrong. Like that was the vibe that was being given. And it was like, I don't know. That didn't really work out in the end the way that they said it was going to work out.
Well, the interesting question I have, and you kind of led me to this about so many different ways to do it. When it comes to chipping, one thing I really noticed a lot with pitchers is how different everybody sets their feet up. You know, I see, you know, for the most part, the sternum is one of the main things I'm looking at in the spine angle, exactly the things that you just spoke about. But I often look at people's feet. You know, I see Jason Day's feet being, you know, shoulder length apart. I'll see Scottie Scheffler take wide stances. For me, I was someone who was comfortable having a very, very narrow stance. And I would flare my front foot open a bunch. And then I would just widen up my stance the more I wanted the shaft to lean back. The question I have for you when it comes to this is that do you ever look at a player's feet? I know amateurs, it's probably quick for you to figure it out, but when you're talking about good players, does the feet, is that something that you coach or look at heavily?
1,000,000%. It's a sneaky one because like, if you were just to imagine my feet like this, and let's say I'm hitting this way, I will see, like you said, like the lead foot will get turned out just a little bit, totally fine. Now, over time, a lot of times this trail foot starts sneaking that way as well.
Remember
that clip of Dustin Johnson when he turned his feet totally that way and he was hitting some chip shots.
Now everybody's too like, far out in. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the crazy, like he's, you know, crazy, like flexible and everything, but you know, people then were like, oh, I could just chip this way. And it's like what I see with this pattern, when the feet get going this way, the knees want to start buckling that way and the chest starts wanting to go back.
Yeah.
So making sure that like, I like to have this trail foot kind of at a perpendicular to your target. This lead foot can go out. And then just depending on the shot, right? Sometimes I'll drop my trail foot back, right? If I'm trying to release the club a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm trying to go like a little bit higher, man, I'm dropping that trail foot back so I can kind of, it almost provides a braking mechanism for my body. And then the club head can start passing. You know, but I would say in general, like I like seeing it fairly square. A little bit open's fine. Too much open, I don't love. But
that's
yeah,
the old school way, man. Like, isn't that crazy? Like I go back and think about, you know, guys back in the day. I feel like either they were way open and they just had so much arms and they just were slow and rhythmic in how they pitched, where now you see, you know, guys that are just so mechanical and connected and everything they do. It's I'm not saying one way is right way and one way is wrong, but the old school way was just like, you know, lollygagging, right?
Well, and you know what gets lost in all of this is that, I think that the agronomy has changed so much that it's forced technique to change, and it's forced you know, soles of golf clubs and bounces on golf clubs to change quite a bit. So I've asked Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus about their gamers. Like I've asked them in person. I said, "What was your highest lofted wedge, and what was the bounce?" Any guesses, Smiley?
I'm gonna go 56 degree and 12 degrees of bounce.
Okay, well, I'm going to go the other way. I'd say maybe like 54, 56, but maybe like less bounce, like maybe more like an iron. Is that?
I bet they had a ton of bounce. I bet they had a ton of bounce.
So think about the agronomy. The thicker the grass,
they need more bounce.
More bounce.
Okay.
Nicholas and Lee Trevino both went 58 degrees with 17 degrees of bounce.
Wow.
You can't even find you can't find a 17 degree bounce wedge on the market right now. Right? Like even Titleist, the newest SM11s, right? They had 14 degrees of bounce in SM10s. The highest degree of bounce that Titleist now offers is 12 degrees of bounce. So the conditions have gotten to where the grass is so tightly mown that you don't need quite as much bounce. Now, here in Asia, right, we've got zoysia grass. And so this thing sits way up. So the players that I'm seeing, I'm like, you're going to want more bounce because you're going to want that leading edge to sit up a little higher, right? A tee grind over here in Asia with this zoysia grass, and they keep it very, like, very wet, right? So it's not like it's firm and tight. It's not like Riviera firm tight zoysia. It's like an inch and a half long, and so they're using a lot of, like, I'm trying to encourage them to use a lot more bounce because it just gets them to hit groove 2, 3, and 4 when that leading edge sits up higher.
Okay, this is a perfect tee up because this is where we're going to get very specific. I realize this is both coming from an amateur perspective, and I hope I'm speaking to someone out there who's just like me, because you know, I'm following the golf WRXs of the world. You're seeing all these guys that got the 60 degrees with four degrees of bounce on them and open the thing wide open, hitting all these specialty shots and thinking, I could probably, I'm a mid-single digit handicap, sometimes low single, I could probably pull that off. And the reality is I wasn't doing it a lot. And we had Sepp Strock on the show, and he was talking about how he has full bounce on all of his wedges. And so just recently picked up a 60 degree with 12 degrees of bounce on it. And I was telling Smiley before you came on that
you've never been one to settle. Stand down or stand still. You're a lifelong learner, energized by excellence. There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. You've got competition to outrun, momentum to build on, and your own high standards to meet. Stop now? Not a chance. At Capella University, we help you catch what you're chasing because you've always had the drive. Now, go earn the degree. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
I don't know what parts of this you can identify for me and tell me what my takeaway should be, but I feel like my pitching has improved dramatically by adding bounce and then also feeling the sensation of really trying to release the club at the bottom more than I had been, because I felt like the problem I was having before was you have this you know, this fallacy in your mind of the more I open it, the more I can hit it high or spin it. But then the reality is you're either kind of, you know, holding that face open and digging in, or it's bouncing off the turf and hitting right in the equator, right? There's a lot of inconsistency. And I feel like this addition of bounce and the sort of releasing the club head has helped a lot. What takeaways would you be telling someone like me, as someone who's far more intelligent and understands, to say this is what you should be using to kind of self-correct going forward as the insight that helped you chip the ball better?
So it had been probably a dozen years since I did like an actual wedge fitting. And I was at Titleist last week, Tuesday, and I did like a full wedge fitting, like 4 hours, and we filmed it and it was cool. But what I would say, like some of my takeaways, and I guess I'll... I said that Titleist's highest degree of bounce is 12. That's on their 58, 60, and 62. 12 degrees of bounce. Now, when you get down into the 56 degree, Titleist has a 14 degree option, which Scottie Scheffler plays, Sam Burns play,
okay.
Max Homa used to play. Like, they go the highest amount of bounce in their 56th degree. And the crazy thing that the thing that shocked me the most, which is kind of going to your story, Charlie, but the thing that shocked me the most was even on full shots, I noticed I have a 10 degree 56th degree, and on these full shots, I was getting a better strike with the 14 degree bounce on the full shots. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. So, you know, I had lunch with the engineers after, and they're like, look, the back edge is going to be higher. The leading edge is going to sit more up, and you are going to hit lower on the face. And that's how we've designed these golf clubs. We want you to hit it low on the face so that this thing comes out, the center of gravity is up high. This thing comes out lower with more oomph on it and more spin. You're going to get better carry numbers. You're going to get better spin numbers. The whole thing's going to be better when you have more bounce. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it performed unbelievable. And I was like, everything about me was like, oh really? 14 degrees of bounce? Like, this is not going to be great for me. And all the numbers proved opposite. And then I jump in the bunker and I'm hitting like 40 yard bunker shots. And I'm like, this is probably the hardest shot in golf. And the sand there was like a little bit on the thick side. I hit three on camera that were like within 2 feet of the hole on a 40-yard bunker shot, three in a row. And then I grabbed my 10-degree. I'm like, I want to see what this 10-degree.
Yeah.
So I grabbed the 10-degree S. It comes up 12 yards short, right? And I'm like, wow, this – and I made the same exact swing. I'm like, this is crazy. So there's something to how the club is this sole, the bounce is interacting with the turf. So point being – it depends on where you play a lot of your golf. Mm-hmm. Is it super firm? Is it super wet? Is the grass super high? Is the grass really, is it dormant Bermuda? All that stuff matters, and you take it into account as to how you also deliver the golf club on the more out to in path or the more in to out path. That's going to determine what sort of grind is best for you and what bounce is best for you.
So what's your takeaway, Charlie? What do you think? What do you take away?
It's interesting because they made me 260s. They made me a 10 degree of bounce, a 12 degree of bounce. And I'm telling you, this is like, I checked FedEx like 30 times in the span of 2 hours to see these things get home. And I went straight to the Range Parker and I was so excited. I got both my new toys out and I was like, okay, I really think I'm going to like the 10 degree better coming from where I'm coming. And it was a simple A/B test. It's like, I'm just making better contact with this 12 degree. Now, we've just reopened a range. We just put new sod in. We are, you know, there's more, I don't know if we had a lot of rain here, but there's more sort of a softness and a give to it. So the 12 was working better through the turf than the 10 was. But I, same thing with some long bunker shots that I hit much better than I know. It's just so interesting. And it's, I think my follow up to that would be, you obviously, it'd be great if we all had 8 wedges in our bag. You know, we carry totally. 2 or 3 60s, you know, and all this stuff. And so how do you optimize bag setup, you know, the design of a wedge, the bounce on the grind on it, and say, okay, we're going to design it so you can hit this one shot the best, but we know you're going to be less effective for these other shots, and we're going to learn some sort of technique so you can produce good shots even with a club setup that's not exactly perfect for this turf condition or this type of shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you'll typically see with tour players is that they'll have 2 or 3 60 degrees that will have a variety of sole conditions or bounces. Usually it's the least amount of bounce is going to be in their highest lofted wedge, typically. And then they're not going to carry a multiple 56s and multiple 52s and multiple 46 degrees. They're just not going to carry multiple of those. But they'll carry multiple 60 degrees for when they go to the British Open. They're going to take, you know, one's going to be like, hey, this is going to be where I'm going to use at John Deere, where the turf is going to be soft. It's sort of like that time of year, they've got to wet it down because it's so hot out there and it's like bent grass. And then it's like, okay, but then I got to hop on the plane to go to the British. Now at the British, I need something with way less bounce.
Low bounce.
Like all like close to zero on a, for a lot of those guys. So, but then at the same time though, you think about it, those are some of the heaviest bunkers. So if you're playing with like a 0 degree bounce wedge and some of those heavy bunkers, dude, it's hard to get through the sand. So now you got to find, well, maybe do I go wider sole, but no bounce, right? And that's where sort of that K-Star came into play. It's a wider sole, but then they sort of shaved it on both sides. And now it sort of plays like a 0 degree bounce on the tight shots. but it has a wider sole, so it plays pretty good out of the bunker. So it's really fascinating to kind of go down the rabbit hole, you know?
Yeah, I could keep you here. You would not be able to exit the country of China. I mean, I could do 3 hours on. This is so interesting to me.
Well, I know you're about to head out, Parker, and the one takeaway I have from this whole conversation is that we need to talk more because we got a lot of questions. But the one thing that you did talk about was Arkite. How can people work on that?
I have this drill, right? I think that the way that I describe it, I think there's two sort of separate families of short game shots. One family would be, let's say, putting, bump and run, and pitch shots. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're all kind of, you know, we're using minimal hands. We're kind of using our shoulders, mm-hmm. quiet knees, sure. quiet legs. And then you start getting a little bit more loft and you hit these pitch shots and you're using a little bit more rib cage, a little bit more turn, but still, you know, fairly quiet hands, so to speak. Club face is fairly square on the simple shots. Now, the other sort of family of shots would be more bunker, flop shot, shots from thick rough. Club face is open. We're using a lot more hinge, a lot more release, a lot more rehinge on the other side. And so two very different shots. I wouldn't even say that they're like even related as family members. They're just very different, right? They're very different. So Arkite matters for both of those, but in different ways. But let's say for the stock sort of bump and run and pitch shot, I get people to like hit some putts and I say, have some awareness. What are your knees doing? They're like, nothing. I was like, okay, now let's hit a 5-iron, one step off the green. Boom. Usually they smash it, right? Because then they change from their putting grip to their regular grip and they smash. Ball goes sent, right? So I'm like, okay, let's grab it like your putter. Let's go handle up high. Let's get close to it. Let's shrink our feet a little bit and let's just use our shoulders. And then we go back to a 7-iron, 9-iron, gap wedge, sand wedge. And as we, you know, kind of start building more loft in there, it's like, it's the same move. It's just going to be a little more dynamic. Ball position may sneak back a little bit with a little bit more higher lofted clubs. And now all of a sudden it's like, I'm kind of making this sort of putting stroke type of motion with a little bit of dynamic movement as I get a 56 degree in my hand. But we're still using a lot of the same concepts that we had with our putting stroke, which was mm-hmm. quiet knees. There's no dipping. There's no driving of the hands. And it's like, think about, you know, and a lot of times people have much better, like, sort of arm control and grip pressure control with putting than they do with, like, trying to chip. And so so a lot of that, all the stuff that we kind of do well with the putting gets brought into the and so, again, I will sometimes recommend people to go, like, hey, let's try cross-handed for a minute if you putt cross-handed. Hey, if you're claw, let's go claw for a minute on chipping and let's just see how it feels, right? And it's like
how your body moves, right? Yeah.
Exactly. We try to find the best sort of solutions, the puzzle pieces to kind of match up to that person. I'm talking a lot of times I'm talking, you know, 6 to 20 handicappers.
That's amazing advice. And I know I know you got to run. There's plenty of teachers in China that want to become the next short game chef. So get out of here, Parker.
Supposedly there's a guy here that calls himself the short game chef in China. I just found that out yesterday.
Little short game pop-up.
And little did you know. Well, Tong Jai Jai-di, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Best Thai spinner of all time, right?
That's right. His son, his DJ name is It's Smiley K. And I was his favorite player. And that's his DJ name. It was when I found that out, it was like, man, we're taking this thing international. Like, this is incredible. With that being said, Parker, short game chef, go do your thing. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, let's do this again.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people on YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
There's a fire inside you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we are here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.